following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Is there anything that warms the heart of somebody you love in your life, hopefully a female, a mom, girlfriend, wife, daughter? Nothing's better than surprise flowers. Today only, that's right, today only, get one dozen assorted roses for only $19.99 plus a free glass vase. Roses always make the ladies in your life feel special. At this price, no brainer. If you've never tried Pro Flowers, give them a shot. Won't be sorry. $19.99 for a dozen assorted roses and a free glass vase. This great deal on classic roses is good for today only. That's right, today. Here's what I want you to do. Call 1-800-PRO-FLOWERS and mention my name, Colin. Or better yet, go to proflowers.com. Click on the mic, upper right side. Enter the password, Colin. That's proflowers.com. Click on the mic, type in Colin. Nothing more special than surprising the ladies in your life with one dozen assorted roses.
It's 11 o'clock.
It's time to play that real kick-ass open.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show with sports director Doug Duda.
Doug Duda with a sports update on ESPN.
Pick and roll, and Olmstead is wide open from Romy. And he's got him locked up, and he gets the pin. Michael Klingensmith. Skip pass knocked away, Maritska. Jesse goes in for the layup, and it's up and in. And Ravenna's going to win state.
And Big Daddy Tony Davis.
It is now a new trophy. We have a new champion. A new champion is crowned.
Be big. I'll be big anyway. I'm not much of a help. I'll be.
This is so Apollo Creed and Rocky in the middle of the ring.
And now it's time for the best sports show in Central Nebraska.
I wouldn't go that far, Mayor.
It's the Doug and Daddy Show.
And welcome Tuesday edition. Love to have your reactions, still your comments coming into the Dent Popper inbox here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Love to have your thoughts, more thoughts, whether you thought the offense was fine, whether you thought the offense was bad, whether you thought Bo Pelini did a good job, whether you thought the defense was great, was excellent like they have been the last few years under Pelini. Great. Keep sending Dent Popper inbox. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. We're going to talk Matt Hoskinson. Does some work for the Omaha Radio Network. Matt played in the mid-90s for the Huskers. He's a small-town Nebraska boy, and we'd love to catch up with Matt. And we're going to do pigskin picks as well. We're going to talk to the Hastings Soccer National Championship coach, national championship or national runner-up coach as well. Both the men's and women's soccer coaches set to join us as well right here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We're looking forward to that. Something we overlooked yesterday, Merritt, pigskin picks. We have a fifth contestant in the computer running.
Negative. Doug had probably the best week he's ever had. 9-1.
Nice.
Like the 15th best week I ever had.
Kidding me?
I think we forget perfection last year on this show. I think we do. 9-1, people. What's the only one I missed?
Yeah, Nebraska.
How the hell did they lose? You know what?
We've been asking that for like 4 days now.
Somewhere here lately, how did we lose? How'd the caller do, Merritt?
Let me check here.
Not 9-1.
Oh, let's see. Ryan got 7. Oh, Ryan got 8-2. He did one better than Daddy, who got 7-3.
Well, 7-3 is pretty good, too.
Yeah.
There you go.
Good work, Douglas. 9-1.
Duh. Sorry I had to beat you down like that.
Hey, no problem.
Well, maybe it wasn't the toughest week ever, but still 9-1. Fresno State over Illinois was the difference, by the way. Most of the picks were the same. It would have come down to the tiebreaker. I would not have won the tiebreaker because of 43 points. I think you guessed right around 41 or something like that.
Yeah.
So, but I won. You didn't. Ha ha.
That's fine, as long as one of us took care of business. That's what we do. Four contestants left in the...
Carried you most of the year again. Let's go to the Dent Popper inbox. Nolan says, why is it that the two teams that played in the Big 12 championship game are playing in bowl games against teams that hardly made it through the season? Neither the Huskers or Sooners have anything to gain and everything to lose by playing in these bowl games. P.S. I hope A&M gets throttled by LSU. From Nolan. Connecticut 8-4, Washington 6-6. Those are the two opponents that the teams that played in the Big 12 championship game will battle against in their bowl games.
Yeah, and you know they can take that underdog role and they can build it up for a month and Maybe Nebraska sleepwalks into this one. Maybe Nebraska goes for more of a vacation. I don't know. I think Coach Pelini will do something that catches their attention, though, and gets them focused to play a football game.
It's still going
to
be tough. It's still going to be tough. Dave says, throw out there who might be interested to Nebraska or who you two might think would take the offensive coordinator job if Watson leaves. That is, if he doesn't get – I mean, if he gets fired or leaves, I guess, according to Dave here. He goes, I agree with Doug about a freshman getting us to a national championship game. It simply was not going to happen. That's just it. You better have somebody – if you're actually thinking about getting rid of Sean Watson, which I don't think they are, but if they're actually thinking about that, you better have somebody that's ready to take that job.
Well, yeah, you better have that. And it better be somebody you probably worked with. And I bet Coach Pelini would have several people in mind, several people – that he's worked with in the past that have done a fine job, should Sean Watson decide to move on. I think right now, Doug, maybe somebody else that we're going to be joined by on the phone right now, Matt Hoskinson, has somebody in mind, the offensive coordinator position. Matt, do you got anybody in mind that would take over for Sean Watson? Welcome.
How about me? Think I could do it?
And give up that high-paying radio gig? What, are you crazy?
I mean, basically, all I have to do is have a pulse, and I would do a better job than what Watson's doing right now. And I have a pulse. I'm here right now.
He is, and he's on the Doug and Daddy show. So you are I listened to some of the boys yesterday, and I thought there were some very strong words. I mean, let's face it. There's sports talk in Nebraska. There's a couple of daily shows in Omaha, and there's us, and that's it. So that's where I go with the opinion. There's an hour in Lincoln where they talk a little bit about that. And the boys came strong yesterday afternoon, I think even stronger than Daddy and I did. Is this to a point where we say enough is enough? And let me get right to it, Matt. If Tom Osborne wanted Sean Watson to stay on as part of Bo Pelini's staff, then is it up to Tom to say, okay, maybe I messed up, and gives Bo the okay? Where's the guy that pulls the trigger here?
No, I think ultimately Coach Osborne will leave the decision in Bo's hands. I mean, although, guys, he's not going to look back, and he's not going to say this was a mistake, because even in my opinion, and mind you, I am the first guy in line who is the anti-Watson guy, and this isn't new for me. I've thought this for years. I mean, he is not the right guy. I've thought it for a long time. But Tom Osborne's not going to look back and say it was a wrong decision, and I really tend to agree with that, because what we needed when Bo got here, guys, is we needed defense. You guys remember the Cosgrove era, and I think it's an era we choose as Nebraskans to block out just a little bit, right? Well, our defense was as bad as it could possibly be, and we needed somebody to fix that, and we needed somebody on offense to maintain some level of continuity, and Watson was that guy. And so I think there's a level of loyalty there to Watson for having stayed and done that when he had opportunities elsewhere. Now, you can go back retrospectively and say, wow, how great would that have been had he taken the Alabama job? Where would we be now offensively? But we don't know how that would have changed the dynamic of our football team in the early days of the Bo Pelini era. So it's easy for us to look back and say, what if, what if, what if. I don't think they regret having Watson at that time. But, guys, we've gotten to a point, I mean, it's past the boiling point right now. This has gotten to the point of ridiculous. I mean, how much longer does Bo, as a CEO of Nebraska football, how much longer is he going to tolerate this continued failure on offense? I mean, that becomes the question. I don't know what the answer is. Rest assured, though, that to your question earlier, he does have people in mind. Even if he's not thinking of firing Watson, which I think the thought's crossing his mind. I don't know if it's going to happen. But there's two guys that do come to mind right now. One of them is on his staff now, Tim Beck, who's a Bo Pelini guy. Talk about it, you know, Pelini being a loyal guy. Tim Beck is one that he'll take a look at. And the other guy is somebody we're all familiar with, and a guy by the name of Scott Frost. He's out of Oregon right now, and last I checked, they run a pretty slick offense. So can you imagine running Oregon's offense with Bo Pelini's defense, how good we'd be?
Matt, let me follow up a little bit on that, because I'm not, and this is just opinion, because I'm not as close to Scott Frost as a lot of the ex-players like you may or may not be. Why would he consider leaving the number one team in the country to come back to Nebraska, where the last I checked, he really doesn't have any ties except being a former player? His family's not here anymore. Some people still don't like the guy, and I'm not one of those. I think he was fine and all that. I don't see Scott coming back.
Scott, this was probably 2 or 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago even, guys. The last real conversation I've had with him, and we've just kind of lost touch over the last real conversation with him that I had was he told me, one day I'm going to be the head coach in Nebraska. That's his ultimate coaching goal. Does that mean he has to come back here as an OC? No. I mean, absolutely not. He just needs to continue to develop and learn. But this would be a natural progression for him in his coaching career. I mean, if an opportunity as an offensive coordinator at Nebraska appeared and he could come back, quote-unquote, home and advance his coaching career, I mean, you have really two things that fall right into place for a guy like him. I mean, personally, on a personal level for him, you couldn't think of a better opportunity. He wants to end up at Nebraska eventually. You come back to be the offensive coordinator, do a great job. You know, I don't know how long Bo's going to be here. I have no idea. I don't know if this is an end game for him or if somehow Trestle leaves and retires or doesn't do well, they're going to look for another guy, and Bo would be one of the guys considered for Ohio State. I don't know. I mean, that's speculation, but it would be a natural advancement for Scott. He's a guy they will consider him, but, again, we're putting the cart ahead of the horse. I don't know that they're going to let Sean Watson go, so I think it's more hopes and dreams for all of us than anything else.
Matt, something I hopped on yesterday and really got on, you know, some people for, Ted Gilmore, and maybe you've got thoughts on this, maybe you don't. Has Niles Paul or any of the other receivers improved since they've been at Nebraska?
No, you know what? Joel Mackovic and I, we've talked a lot about this, player development. You can look back over the last, I don't know, you could take a snapshot of 3-4 years, however long you want to. Take a look at Niles Paul. Go pull up his film right now. Go pull up his rivals film and look at him as a senior in high school and tell me he's gotten better from then until now. And I'm not even talking about the drops. I'm not talking about stuff like that because people bring that up. I'm talking everything, the total package. Tell me he's a better football player. I mean, they have not consistently developed anyone. And that includes Sean Watson. Think about the quarterbacks. Think about the development of quarterbacks and how did Zach Lee get significantly better? I mean, did he really make improvements and significant strides? I mean, Watson's a quarterback's coach too. So you have to look across the board offensively and look at the development of these players and tell me that they've gotten better. See, the whole theory on the Bill Callahan era, which Watson to me, I equate him to, the whole theory is, recruit 4- and 5-star kids, and then just put them in a system and just let them play. Well, that's not player development. That's not what Nebraska has been about. That's not what college football is about. That's a football factory, and we don't have that. We've always had development here for years and years and years. We've never done that on offense. And, you know, that's been our ultimate downfall because then you do get guys that are talented, they get hurt, and then you're stuck with guys who you spent no time developing and they're thrown into the game situation and they haven't performed. But there's so many things broken with this offense, guys, and I know you've talked about it an awful lot, but we don't know who we are. I hate the word identity. It's overused. It's misused a lot, but we don't know what we're going to run. From week to week, from time to time, it's become a bit of a disaster, and something needs to be done about it. And the responsibility is both Pelini's right now.
Will something be done about it in your mind when the season comes to an end on the 1st of January, when they look back after a couple days after the game?
It's a great question, Tony. Here's my honest opinion. My honest opinion is that nothing will be done. I think he'll be back. I think he'll interview for other positions. He's not going to get any. I can't imagine somebody's going to make this guy a head coach. I really can't. I don't see what he would bring to the table as a head coach. If I were an athletic director at another school, I don't care how big it is, if I'm looking at his resume, I'm saying, what have you really done? I mean, what positive things have you done? I mean, he's never led the league in anything. And, you know, his offenses have been nice. They've been okay at times, but wildly, wildly inconsistent. We have no example of some fantastic leadership qualities that this guy has. I mean, he's not going to get a position anywhere else. He's going to be back, and it's going to be another year of guys like you and guys like Joel and I and sportsmanlike conduct. It's, you know, it's good for radio that he's back. I'll tell you that much. Give me somebody to whip her out a little bit. But, yeah, he's going to be back, unfortunately.
Former Husker Matt Hoskinson joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. As you mentioned, they do a radio show, obviously, in Omaha, talking Huskers. Matt, did you see Bill Callahan on the bus last night in Monday Night Football pregame?
No, yeah, okay. I actually did not.
I still wanted to reach through the TV and punch him. But anyway, besides, I don't know if this is taking it even deeper or what. We talk about the players not getting any better. Some of that also has to be on the player, doesn't it? A little bit?
Definitely. No, there's no doubt about it. I mean, I'm not singling Sean Watson out as the only problem on this offense. I don't think you guys are either. I mean, I think that would be a little bit naive to think that he is the only problem. But you have to go back to the guy that's ultimately the one responsible. Go to the root cause. I don't care what you're in, whether it's business, football, or whatever else. Go to the root cause. What's causing all of this? Well, number one is your playbook is still too ridiculous, and we don't have plays in there that are very, very simple. You know, I talked to Tony before about this. We don't have just a Burkhead to the right, break. Burkhead to the left, break. You know, we don't have where's our screen game? We don't have any screens in our – when's the last time you guys have seen a good screen?
Well, we can't run that because we can't get anybody open down the damn field.
we can't do that. I mean, Oklahoma's coming 90 miles an hour because they know they've stopped the run to some extent at certain points, and they're coming 90 miles an hour. How nice would a screen have been right there? Running back screen, tight end screen, any type of screen. I haven't seen one of them, and I don't know how long. The playbook's ridiculous, and they talk about execution constantly. But, guys, you know what execution is? It's repetition. Execution is repetition. How in the world, when you have 500 different plays, can you execute in practice? How many times do you think they run each one of them individual plays in a week? Once? Twice? Three times? I mean, again, I compare it to when we were there because that's my point of reference. But I'm going to tell you right now, we ran 32 option 100 million times. I mean, I still run it in my sleep sometimes, right? And I still know what I'm doing. We ran it so much, it was just sickening. But you could put any defense in the world out there right now. I'm 35 years old, and I will tell you how to block a 32 option. They could throw anything at us. That's execution. It's repetition.
Matt Hoskinson with us for just another minute. Before we run out of time, Matt, as a former player, obviously in the day there were games where you just went, oh, really, Saturday? Huh. Well, this ain't nothing. I mean, let's face it, this is a crap bowl game against Washington. How in the world do you get any pep in the step of these kids? You can say what you want. I don't care what they try to do to sell it. Kids are kids. They're 19, 20. They go have fun in San Diego if that's allowed. You can't just walk on the field and expect to win. I mean, they tried to do that against South Dakota State, and we saw what happened. Jake Locker doesn't suck. We just made him look real bad the first time we played him. What do you do as a player to make darn sure you don't limp into that Washington game and take an embarrassing loss?
Well, I look at this a couple of ways. Now, number one, we've seen what the history of Bo Pelini, when given time to prepare, we've seen what he can do. I mean, he's going to have our defense ready. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind they'll be ready, and the football team will be ready. On the flip side of that, guys, one of the biggest problems that Nebraska football has had in the last 10 years, I mean, at least 8 to 10, is we have literally zero leadership, no on-field leadership whatsoever. And I hear this crap about, that guy's a silent leader. There's no such thing in this world as a silent leader, none. It doesn't exist in football. I don't want to hear it ever again. We don't have guys on the field. When you screw up, they will grab you by the face mask and literally rip you a new one on the sideline. You see the coaches do it. But when was the last time you've seen a player do that to another player? Now go back and flip on some film from the 90s and watch as Jason Peters grabbing face masks. Watch as Grant Wistrom is dressing people down. Watch as the offensive linemen are screaming at each other. Watch as we're telling the kicker, don't ever miss a kick again in your lifetime. They don't have the type of leadership that it takes on the field, and it's been a problem for a long period of time. And that's the biggest issue. Can they find the leadership to go down there and realize, hey, we have a football game, guys. Let's go win this thing. You know, that's what a leader would do. Your group of leaders would grab you, and they would take you along with them. We don't have that, so that makes me very nervous about this game. But my hope is that they're excited. It's a football game. You get to go down and play, have fun in San Diego, go out and have a good time. Nothing's on the line, really. You win another bowl game. I mean, that's really what you have on the line. You know, keep the bowl record intact under Bo Pelini. Go down there and have some fun and go out there and play hard. I mean, it's really all they can do. But I worry about leadership because we don't have any.
Matt Hoskinson, we appreciate the time today on the Doug and Danny Show. And those face masks you're talking about being grabbed, it was always Lorne Kaiser, said Jason Peter, was grabbing and screaming at him.
It was always guys like that.
Matt, appreciate it. To keep up the good work, we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, fellas. Good show. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, buddy. Matt Hoskinson, former Husker, of course, does a Saturday show with Joel Makovicka on 1620 The Zone in Omaha. This was brought up, I don't even know if it was yesterday or over the weekend, this whole leadership deal, and we may have touched on it a little bit, but not enough. The deal now is you've got a lot of young guys playing, not just some. You do not have guys that have, I mean, everybody now thinks they're a star and can come to a top 10 program and play right away. And Nebraska has freshmen, Taylor Martinez, sophomores out there, Rex Burkhead, doing things. And then where does that leadership come from? They haven't been on the sidelines for 2 and 3 years before they get their chance and only have 1 year, maybe 2 years, to accomplish what they want. I just think it's, back in the day, back 20 years ago, maybe you had a Wistrom that got a chance to start as a sophomore. So by the time he was a senior, he knew how to be a leader. I just don't think in this day and age, Nebraska's probably not the only team without a lot of leaders, because you got a lot of young kids that have been playing for 3 years, and it's not just a couple of guys. I mean, you got 10 guys that were playing as sophomores. So they all look at each other and they don't want to pee each other off. They don't want to make each other mad. You know, well, who are you to tell me what to do? Well, back in the day, there was only a couple of guys that had the authority and had played and had the games under their belt to be able to say that. I really think that's part of the problem.
Well,
it's a good problem if you got talent out there and you can bring in recruits and play them as sophomores and they're great. But this is, again, the flip side of all that is good. There is always a little dark cloud or silver lining, depending on which side you're looking at.
I don't know. I think that you know when you show up on that campus down there. I don't think it takes you till you're a junior or senior to realize, I think I can be a leader now because of what I've learned. I think that's built into you.
What do you think these guys learned when they came onto campus? What was the football program like when this group of seniors came onto campus?
There was a chip on Christian Jason Peter's shoulder well before they stepped on the
Jason Peter, because Nebraska was winning. What about these kids that came onto this football program 4 and 5 years ago?
Well, they need a sophomore or somebody that's won before to step in and do something about it. That's the loser mentality that goes on to society. We just can't step up and be a winner because we haven't won before.
Was Jason Peter a leader as a sophomore on that football team against seniors? Be honest.
No, because I think he had his brother up there. He didn't need to be the leader. If Jason Peter would have been a sophomore on this year's football team with no leaders, I think he would have been a leader.
What, it's kind of the egg and the chicken. One of them's got to have it. I think winning will breed your leadership, and you got to have some leaders to win those big games.
We haven't won a big game yet. We have not won.
No, and we don't have a leader yet. Which comes first?
Well, which comes first is you don't have an offense that just cripples you every time you go out on the field in a big game.
Love to hear from you at 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. Better yet, shoot us your emails, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. Craig at Amherst says, Daddy, can you talk about what the attitude of the team and players was like on the sideline, especially since that's where you were positioned for that football game Saturday?
You know what? I thought it was very, very businesslike. There was some emotion when the defense came off. Almost no, you know, when the benches were a ways away from me, but very, very, there was not a lot of emotion at all other than the defensive side of the ball. And that was to be expected. We weren't moving the ball up and down the field. I'd say businesslike attitude, emotion on the defensive side of the ball. Other than that, the offensive guys weren't jumping around, hooting and hollering, even, you know, in the first half, other than when they came off the field after Burkhead. I mean, everybody meets Burkhead out there, and yeah, there's some emotion then, but they go back. It's very businesslike after that.
Craig also says, Steelers win. Doug, do you have your Gumby costume spoken for yet? Of course, there's a few things out there. If the Steelers would happen to win the Super Bowl, I said I would pick one of the listeners' ideas and do it. Yeah, the Steelers won. They are not good, Craig. They're good. Okay, wait a minute. They're good. They're not great. Let's just, that was a tough game to watch, and I was pulling for Baltimore, so that probably is another reason it pees me off. They shouldn't have played that game right after the Husker game because I'm just yelling, run it up the middle, punt it, and this game's over because Pittsburgh can't move the ball. Instead, Baltimore gives them the win. There you go. Let's go to the Debt Popper inbox. You can shoot us your emails anytime. Also, let's go to the Bruce Furniture fan line at 888-455-ESPN.
Brandon from Oxford.
Brandon, what's going on, man?
Oh, not much. I'm just kind of wondering what you guys thought about Watson and the offense, and I think this is kind of the team we're going to be until we get a better offense, and that's kind of up to Bo.
Brandon, thanks for the call. Let's take a – we have been talking about that here. you want to – I guess you've given your opinion. The offense will be like this. I will say this. With a hate – again, I said it yesterday. I'll say it again today. With a healthy Taylor Martinez, Nebraska beats A&M, Nebraska beats Oklahoma, and nobody's mad at Sean Watson. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more on the Doug and Daddy Show. Talk national champions with Hastings College after this.
Storm Hockey has the number one party in town.
Shearhorn coming in with Johnson. Shearhorn to the front side of the net. Great move. Shot scores. Brad Shearhorn. What a display of beauty.
The place will be rocking when the Des Moines Buccaneers travel to Kearney on a 2-for-1 Tuesday. Visit Qdoba in Kearney now and get a special 2-for-1 voucher. Redeem that voucher at the Viero Event Center box office and receive two tickets for the price of one to see the Storm and the Bucs face off on Tuesday night. Fun just got more affordable with Qdoba and the Tri-City Storm. For more, visit stormhockey.com, presented by Viero.
About 80 years before the seeds for the trees that produce the lumber that they sell now were even planted, Mead Lumber was born in Nebraska. Like the trees, Mead Lumber locations have sprouted all over. The latest is just east of Kearney. Contractors will appreciate veteran lumberman Ron Fredericks and his decades of experience in problem solving. Heading up the Mead team, Mead Lumber, on the way to the industrial park, East 39th, cleverly located beneath the big red Mead Lumber sign.
It's that time of year again. CPI is gearing up for this year's Expo and annual meeting on December 14th at the Adams County Fairgrounds. Make plans to attend the Expo and take advantage of the opportunities. Come listen to our special guest as he talks about the Cornhusker Cooperative Program. That's Tuesday, December 14th.
Helping you help yourself. CPI. CPI.
Win or lose, it's a bowl game in the Huskers' future.
Knocked him down at the 32-yard line.
And we'll talk about it and the Big 12 championship final at our final Big Red Lunch. John Callahan is back noon Wednesday. Cunningham's Kearney.
Play action fake. Back in the pocket. Getting hit near the goal line and sacked at the 2-yard line. Knocked down.
Doug and Daddy live at 11. Brought to you by Complete Nutrition, Midas, and Home Savings Bank. From Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, 1460 and 1550.
We'll see partial sun and some cloudiness across the area as we make our way through the day today with highs in the upper 30s. Winds will also stay variable at about 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight's lows reach 18 with partly cloudy skies. I'm meteorologist Paul Tremblay. Right now, 30.
Doug and Daddy's Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, where the folks on the Doug and Daddy Show are fed by the fine folks at Burger King in Kearney, with two locations next to Walmart and near Kearney Cinema. Also in Lexington, Cozad and North Platte, where right now the original chicken sandwich or the new chicken club with bacon and tomato is buy one, get one free, and there's no limit. Try it today at Burger King. And we welcome into the Doug and Daddy Show. They just got back last night, and they are still basking in the glory, as they should. National championship head coach of the Hastings College men's soccer team, Chris Crank, joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, good morning and congratulations from everyone in Central Nebraska.
Hey, good morning and thank you very much. It's much appreciated.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you're going to have to drive back from Alabama, you just as well have a big-ass trophy to bring back. It's probably a lot shorter drive on the way back than it was on the way out.
It was a much shorter drive on the way back than it was on the way, the way down there, and then it was on the way back. But we got two big ass trophies. So we got there's a traveling trophy that the NAI. It was in it's in memory of a former NAI coach. So it goes to the school each year, and it's a big old, it's kind of like a Stanley Cup type thing. And then there's the one that the school keeps, the actual national championship trophy. So it was a much easier ride. The guys were definitely in great spirits for both days. You know, we had to spend the night Sunday night in Jonesboro, Arkansas, and you know, we got in back in late last night. So, but definitely it was a very smooth ride on the way back for sure.
Chris, when you get all these teams together and you start scouting them, at what point do you realize, hey, we might be the best one here?
You know, I think it takes a little bit of time as the bracket unfolds. As teams, you know, we really don't look at it at the round of 16. I think we're focused in on the next game. You know, so on Monday, after we beat Bryan College, we were looking at our next game. You know, in the game against Southern Poly and Holy Names of California. And we were really looking at that game. We didn't spend a lot of time scouting the other teams on the other side of the bracket or the William Jewell Oklahoma Baptist game. So we really didn't have a good idea. But as we got into the quarterfinals and we were playing Holy Names, and once we won that game, and I looked at the William Jewell game, and I looked at, you know, the other quarterfinal games that were going on. At that point in time, I told our assistants, I said, "We have the makings to win a national championship here. I think our attacking personalities definitely can get in behind the other team's defenses. I think we had a little bit more. I think we had better team speed in terms of being able to get in behind defenses. And I thought we were very, very organized and disciplined attack or defensively, where." You know, teams had some decent attacking players here and there, but at that point in time, I really felt good after the quarterfinal and watching some of the other quarterfinal games that we had a good shot at making a run at the championship.
We're talking with Chris Crank, the head coach of the national championship Hastings College men's soccer team. Coach, now it wasn't totally a little bit different than the women because you guys go in with the 3 seed, you're unbeaten, so that seed makes you a semifinal favorite, and you guys just kept shutting out people. Mm-hmm. And then the national championship game was totally different. You rarely see 5-3 when you're playing a bunch of hacks. This is a 5-3 national title game. Take me through the roller coaster of this one.
Oh, wow. It was a roller coaster. There's no doubt about it. You know, and it started a minute into the game or 2 minutes in the game. And, you know, they had a player named Luke Holmes, number 20, and he came up through the Manchester City youth system over in England and very respected youth system over there. And he was, you know, we chatted about, you know, we talked a lot about him before the game and said, hey, you know, we got to shut down the guy and not allow, and, you know, screen him out of the game. And he can't get touches or get good looks at the goal because he'll score goals. And sure enough, the first strike of the game, it falls onto his foot and he buries it. So we were down one goal. And this is the first time all season in 24 games where we've been down a goal. You know, so, you know, looking at it going, hey, you know, we're down a goal, and I'm looking at my team going, and I'm really watching them to see how we would react. And at that point in time, you know, they were clapping at each other, high-fiving each other, and we're okay. And within, you know, 25 minutes, we're up 3-1. Feeling pretty good. Feeling pretty good at this point, going, okay, now, we'll just stay strong and compact defensively. Don't give anything away. And sure enough, we lost possession of the ball in our own half of the field, and they went on a little bit of a break, and we fouled the guy right at the top of the box. And sure enough, the one guy, you know, the one thing we told our players at the before the game was we cannot give them any free kicks around the top of the box or on the side because they're very good at serving crosses in and very good at taking free kicks. And sure enough, number 14, Tom Meller, who was I think he was named first team All-American yesterday, steps up and just buries it. So it's 3-2, and we're just sitting back going, all right, how's this going to end? And I looked over at assistants and I'm like, this game isn't going to end 3-2. I said, we really got to make a couple of adjustments here and there to really screen out 20 and really make sure 14 doesn't get the ball. But we told our guys at halftime, hey, it's do or die. It's time to go. Either we score first and we stay strong defensively and we'll win this game and we'll win a national championship, or, you know, we really didn't get into the other part of it. But so the guys came out with, you know, at the, I don't know, 10 minutes into the second half, and we get a corner kick, and Jordan Green puts it away, and it was, just an amazing, you know, we're looking at each other going, okay, this game's done, you know. And I rare, you know, at that point, I really didn't look at the scoreboard to see that there's still 40 minutes left to play or 30 minutes left to play, and there's a lot of time for 20 and 14 to have an effect on the game. Sure enough, 20 gets a great ball served in, and, you know, Luke just takes Matt Wadley on and buries it. And it's 4-3, and at this point, I think my heart just jumped out of my body and just started beating as fast as possible. I'm just sitting here going, wow, we really got to really clamber down. And it was just, they had us on our heels, and we're just, you know, we're fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting. And then finally, with about 8 minutes left, you know, it just so typical of A.J. Dingledine and our team. When the game's kind of not going and we're kind of our backs against the wall for some reason or another against the run of play, we find a way to score and put the game away. And at that point in time, we were able, I think our whole team, including myself, was able to relax. So it was back and forth. You know, we felt like, okay, now we got it. And all of a sudden, bam, they would make a special play. And all three of their goals were special plays. You know, they'd make a special play, then we would score. So it was kind of going back and forth. We were just fortunate in the first half to get those three goals to kind of give us that cushion, and we just maintained that cushion all the way through. Even though they would come back and they were on the verge of it, we just maintained that cushion, and I'm just so very proud of our guys and the way they were able to deal with some real different adversity for the first time all season in terms of being down a goal, then having to come back, and this team just fighting and fighting and scoring goals and coming back. So, and that's a sign of a championship team.
Chris, obviously lifting that trophy was the ultimate goal when you came into this season, and you can have the 3 seed and you can be undefeated going in there. But I think until you actually are presented that trophy, did you realize the resources were in place when you got to Hastings College that you had an opportunity to win a national title?
Yeah, I always thought the resources were in place. I always felt that with Nebraska players, I mean, you look at our roster, and our roster is Nebraska players. And I felt that one of the things in order to win a national championship, you can have good players. Of course, you always need the recipe of good players. But I always felt chemistry, work ethic, and just pure determination was going to, you know, was a recipe. Because I watched a lot of games. I watched the NAI tournament a lot. And you know, in the early years, and we were there in 2001, so this is the first taste of it. And I felt like, geez, you know, if we have some athletes, guys that can run around a little bit, you know, jump high, things like that, with a little bit of technical ability to be able to pass, be able to receive, be able to shoot, and then find the right players for the right skill sets at the right positions, but ultimately have the right chemistry of players. And we came close a few times until this year. And this year, I think we got it. You know, we got it pretty. You know, I think we got pretty right. You know, in terms of chemistry, skill sets, and things like that. Because I could go through I won't do it now, but I could go through the starting 11 and really pick apart each player and how they fit that role. And for the first time, I think in the program's history, where we had players that fit every role. So I think and to do this with Nebraska players and finding the Nebraska players, convincing them to stay home, convincing them to come to Hastings, you know, and having the resources from the college, you know, great facilities, great support with Dr. Dudley and Coach Roberts, our athletic director, and everybody around the community and things like that, really kind of makes it a special place. And with that being a special place, with the resources and with the players from the state, you know, willing to, you know, stay home and not, you know, and they could go Division One or, you know, places like that, but they choose to come here and they're all friends, you know, they all grew up together, they all play club, I think makes a huge difference. And again, we came close a few years ago, you know, in 2003 and 2005, and those groups had chemistry. You know, maybe in 2003 it was just a bounce, just a wrong bounce of the ball. In 2005 it was just being tired. You know, I think we spent a lot of energy defeating the number one team in the country in the quarterfinal. This year was everything was just right, you know, and that's also a little bit about it is just maybe a little bit of luck and everything just falling right into place for you. So
Chris Crank, head coach of the Hastings College National Champions. Chris, we're out of time, but I want just a brief as you possibly can on Yannick Teal and Derek Prinz. They were named first-team All-American yesterday.
Yeah, Derek, what a great season. Our rock. I mean, he's defensively, he's a rock. He wins every header. He's great 1v1 defending, and he never loses the ball. He's just, you know, and he very much deserves it. Yannick, what a great season. He broke our single goal record this year and just came up all the time with great plays at the right times, at the right moments, and such a hard worker. I mean, he never stopped sprinting for 90 minutes, and you know, and what a great kid. Both great kids, both great, you know, ambassadors for the college, for the state of Nebraska, and just for the communities. So I'm just very proud of them and very proud of our team. So
2010 NAIA Soccer National Champs and Daddy Derek Prinz Jr., two honorable mention All-Americans, Jordan Green, Nate Pollock, sophomore, junior. They got some great kids coming back. And, Chris, keep up the great work at Hastings College. We'll talk with you again soon.
Hey, thank you guys for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Take care, bud. National champs at Hastings College. And just as surprising, the women come up just short. And we're going to talk with Coach Ted Flagatis right after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Live from Progressive.
Flo again, talking about something dear to my heart.
Saving money.
And we have Marcy.
Hi, can I really find other car insurance companies' rates on Progressive.com?
Sure can. It makes rate shopping fast and saving as easy as pie.
Oh, it's got to be easier than that. Ever tried making a pecan pie?
It can get soupy.
Visit Progressive.com to compare rates and start saving today.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Comparison rates not available in Massachusetts and certain other states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
When men get together, they relax over a cocktail and discuss the latest news from sports to pop culture. Now ESPN and Jim Beam have teamed up to bring this to life with the Next Round, served up by Jim Beam, featuring Scoop Jackson and guests. Just as friends talk sports and news over a cocktail at the local hangout, Scoop and guests do the same. The Next Round, served up by Jim Beam. Check it out on ESPN.com. Search Jim Beam. Jim Beam, the bourbon, says 1795. Please remember to drink smart. Jim Beam, Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume. Copyright 2010, James B. Beam Distilling Company, Claremont, Kentucky.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. When it comes to keeping it simple, having your auto and home insured by the same company just makes sense. At Farm Bureau Financial Services, we make it easy to combine and save. And you pay only one deductible for all covered possessions damaged in a single occurrence if you have a loss. To learn more, call Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney at 234-4922. 234-4922. Farm Bureau makes insurance simple. Call them at 234-4922. Farm Bureau Members' Choice Policy issued by Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance Company and Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through Equitrust Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll see partial sun and some cloudiness across the area as we make our way through the day today with highs in the upper 30s. Winds will also stay variable at about 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight's lows reach 18 with partly cloudy skies. I'm meteorologist Paul Tremblay. Right now, 30.
Still taking your emails on Husker football, as always, of course. Hey, tomorrow we're going to have our Husker lunch at Cunningham, so come hang out with us and get a great lunch, $5-$6, depending on what you order. Great food at Cunningham's Journal. Sean Callahan will be on hand to take your questions, break down the Big 12 championship game. Probably a lot more talk about Sean Watson and that offense and who's going to be there, who's healthy, who's not, and, of course, the matchup with Washington. Frank Guchera, former UNK wrestler, is going to join us on the show tomorrow to talk a little bit about the Loper Open that's coming up this weekend, but also to talk about a fundraiser for another former Loper wrestler in Kurt Karjalainen. And his daughter, Kate, has neuroblastoma. Now, I'm not a surgeon or physician, so I hope I said that right. She was 8 months old, diagnosed with this form of cancer that happens or is diagnosed almost 50% of the cases in children under 2 years of age. And on a Thursday night from 5:30 to 7:30 at the Buffalo County Fairgrounds Ag Pavilion, a spaghetti dinner and silent auction is going to be held. Cost of the dinner is a free will donation. Silent auction will feature a lot of items from local merchants. Proceeds from this event all go to the family to help defray medical costs and help advance the cancer research. Hate to see kids struggle, and here's a way that you can help out. It's Thursday night at the Buffalo County Fairgrounds from 5:30 to 7:30, and Frank will join us to talk more about that on the show tomorrow. But talking right now, we just finished up with the national championship coach at Hastings College and bringing home a national runner-up on the women's side, Ted Flugaitis, and Hastings Broncos, who had never made it out of the first round. Now they're there all week, and Coach, as much as I know you would have loved to win the national championship once you got there, you talk about crashing through barriers. You beat number one, and you come back, and you come back, and you just keep on winning. Again, congratulations to you and the gals.
Thank you very much. Really appreciate that.
At what point, Tony kind of said this to Chris, at what point did you realize you were going to be there longer than you had thought? After, I mean, we had you on last week when you beat number one. You got that key win. You come back in the final few minutes. You force an overtime and a shootout, and all of a sudden you guys are on a roll.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we were ever arrogant enough to think that there was any match that was just a give me, you know, and we just put in complete performances. So there wasn't a point in time where we're going, hey, we're going to be here all week, but we appreciated the occasion, you know, and each match was special. We approached it that way, and we wanted to make sure that we were giving our all to it to try to be there as long as possible. I think that after we beat number one, you know, we very much felt like we could do something special. But, you know, the cardinal sin in sports is to look too far ahead. So we tried to stay even keel and just go one match at a time.
In doing that, though, when you do know you're playing number one and you do know you're playing higher seeded people than you, does the energy expended finally catch up with you?
You mean in the final match?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I thought we played them off the pitch in the first half. I thought we were the better team, and unfortunately we gave a goal away with about a minute and a half to go before halftime, which I think changed the dynamics of the game. Because, you know, it's a very different game coming out of the locker room at 0-0 at halftime than it is chasing a lead to the two-time defending national champion. You know, I don't think you can use an excuse because there's three matches in 3 days, and both teams are playing with that type of fatigue. So I don't really think it caught up with us. I just think, you know, we made two costly errors at a costly time, and we got punished by a good team for that.
Coach Ted Flugaitis of the Hastings College women's soccer team with us on the Doug and Daddy Show national runners-up this past week down in Alabama. But one of the matches delayed coming out of that number one. Did that help, hurt? What was the pros and cons of getting that day off when you get up in the morning all jacked up to play and then you know you're not going to play?
Yeah, kind of a little bit of a roller coaster, you know, because we're coming off such an emotional high that maybe the day off did us some good, gave us more time to come back to reality. But then it backlogs the second half of the tournament in having to play three matches in 3 days. You know, so it was a little bit of both, really. Because when we started the game against William Carey, either we had been off too long or we were still coming off the cloud, because in that match we started very, very slowly. So, but I mean, I guess on the positive side, when we played the national title match, we came out very, very quickly. So there were pros and cons to both, but, you know, it's tournament soccer, and you have to find a way to get it done.
When so much is on the line and you go to penalty kicks to end something, what's the emotional roller coaster like there?
It's the worst. I mean, you know, it's a freak fest. You're freaking out about everything, about every kick of the ball, and, you know, it's the nerviest. So, But at the same time, I'm very confident in our goalkeeper. You know, Megan Kreifel is one of the best in the nation. You know, she saved three against Olivet Nazarene. She saves another three against William Carey. She saves one in the final four. You know, she's got seven penalty kick saves in her last 11 that she's seen, which is absolutely unbelievable. So I felt good going into penalty kicks, but then again, you never know. And sometimes the cruel thing about soccer is the better or the worse team can find a way to win in those games in penalty kick situations.
Ted Flagaitis is with us for just another minute here on the Doug and Daddy Show. You also had a couple of kids named honorable mention All-American yesterday. Talk about those two young ladies.
Yeah, I mean, Rebecca Glisson's junior central defender, absolutely unbelievable season. We only played with three defenders in the back. I mean, she was a mainstay. The performances she put in this year were, you know, spectacular. Up front, Jessica Carlson's another junior. She had 16 goals in the campaign, and she manages to do it while playing through, you know, compartment syndrome. So she's able to take over games in the final third when she feels like it. You know, when the urge hits her, she's good enough to pick up the ball and beat three or four defenders on the trot. And, you know, we probably wouldn't be in this situation without some of the timely goals she scored. She scored that goal just minutes from time against William Carey to level us at 1-1 to take it to penalty kicks. And she's a top-notch goal scorer, you know. So I was really pleased that those two were recognized. And, you know, it's a terrific achievement.
Finally, Coach, all these All-Americans, more maybe on the men's side than on the women's side, are
right.
Foreign players. I mean, Germany, England, Jamaica, Brazil, mm-hmm. wherever you want to look at. Mm-hmm. Let's be blunt here. You guys made such a huge leap running through this national tournament, going from never making it to the second round to going to the national final.
Right.
Tony and I look at each other and go, how have both the men and women been able to now establish being a national power in soccer in Hastings, Nebraska?
I think we do it the way most teams don't. You know, we play with American kids, and we make sure that the local players that are quality players come here and in the surrounding areas. And you know, I've seen Chris work over the last 4 years, and they're an incredibly dedicated program and dedicated staff. You know, and they leave no stone unturned. And, you know, we've tried to do the same thing on the women's side in terms of let's provide the best experience and let's be as thorough as we can in preparation. And when teams overlook us, we'll be better prepared. And, you know, I don't want it to sound cliche, but a lot of it is down to hard work, isn't it? So I don't want to call us a powerhouse yet. You know, I'd like us to have some more seasons of excellence. But, you know, our absolute goal is to continue to become an elite-level program, and hopefully we've taken a big step in doing that.
Ted, congratulations on a wonderful, wonderful season. Tell the ladies a great job, and we'll catch up with you again here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Really appreciate it, guys. Thanks a lot.
Take care. Ted Flagaitis, head coach, Hastings Women, national runner-up. And before that, Chris Crank, head coach of the men, national champions. It's incredible.
Pretty awesome. It's really awesome.
It is incredible. Coming up, still have Troutman's Tuesday Trivia, plus the point spread is out on the Nebraska game. We've got more football to talk about, your emails. So, coming up, all that and more right after this.
Hi, it's Colin Cowherd, host of The Herd. Everybody knows going to the post office is a hassle. Fighting traffic, finding parking, waiting in line, brutal, waste of time. I've got a solution, Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, you can print real U.S. postage using your own computer and printer. No hardware to buy, nothing to rent. You can print postage for all your letters and packages right from your desk. It's like having a post office in your home or office. I've been recommending Stamps.com to everybody I know. Right now, Stamps.com has a special offer, no risk trial, plus a $100 bonus offer, including $45 in free postage. That's more free postage if you use my name, Colin. Try Stamps.com today for a no-risk trial, $100 bonus offer. Go to Stamps.com before you do anything else. Click on the radio microphone top of the homepage. Type in my name, Colin, Stamps.com, and be sure to use my name, Colin.
When you save 10% on the stuff that you bought, that's at Builders.
Hi, this is Scott from Builders, here to announce our all-new Senior Citizens Day every Tuesday at Builders in Kearney. If you're 65 or over, you qualify for a 10% discount on any in-stock items at Builders. That's every Tuesday, where seniors save 10% at Builders in Kearney. See store for details.
Builders does it best. The number one store for exclusive weight loss, sports nutrition, and vitamins is Complete Nutrition. And this week, the first Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of the month, get 22% off everything for our preferred member days. That's 22% off all exclusive weight loss, sports nutrition, vitamins, and herbs. At Complete Nutrition, our focus is asking you the right questions to get you the right products you need to reach your goals. And when it comes to helping you lose weight, increase energy, burn fat, or build muscle mass, nobody gets you results like Complete Nutrition, period. So get in this Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday for our preferred member days and save 22% off everything only at Complete Nutrition.
Find Complete Nutrition just north of Sunmart on 2nd Avenue in Kearney or call 338-1-FIT. That's 338-1348.
We'll see partial sun and some cloudiness across the area as we make our way through the day today with highs in the upper 30s. Winds will also stay variable at about 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight's lows reach 18 with partly cloudy skies. I'm meteorologist Paul Tremblay. Right now, 30.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Let's go to the Dead Popper inbox. Deb says, you may have already covered this, but why no Zach Lee for at least one series versus Oklahoma? You want to manage the game, maybe Cody for a series, but to move the offense, Zach was the guy.
Well, Zach apparently was hurt.
I think Zach's hurt. He got in at the end of that Colorado game?
Yep.
Colorado game, right? I think that was just to
appease him as a senior.
Yeah, I think that's all that was, so there you go. John in Wisconsin says, I'm old enough to remember Nebraska before Devaney. My parents used to put us kids in the knothole bleachers, then come down and get us at halftime so we could sit with them in the good seats. Place was never sold out. Band-Aid bands would fill the bleachers, and I believe the place was not sold out. Devaney changed that, but he still went 6-4 for 2 years while I was at the U. Then after the championships and Osborne took over, how many people were mad because Oklahoma kept beating us? If we had got rid of them when they had 4 years, 6 wins, 9 wins, maybe no championships. Look what happened after Frank was fired. That was a great change. Let's just get Bo some time to coach and see what happens. It's only been 3 years. Take care, John from Wisconsin.
Nobody's ripping on Bo.
Oh, I think people are ripping on Bo because he needs to make the decision on Sean. He's the CEO. He's the man in charge of the company. Matt Hoskinson said it. You brought it up yesterday. Dirk Chatelain brought it up yesterday. There you go. Time for Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-3776. You have not approved this through me.
Yeah.
You realize that.
Doesn't need approval.
If you've not won in the last 2 months, you are eligible at 888-455-ESPN. Let's go to the phone lines. Who are we chatting with?
Sean,
okay, Daddy has one. Go, Tone.
Right before the show, Indomitian Sue was on Colin Cowherd. He won last year's Outland Trophy, as he did every other award. Who was the last Nebraska player before Sue to win the Outland Trophy?
Wiegert.
That is incorrect, but an excellent, excellent guess.
Try back, 888-455-ESPN. Let's stay with the phone lines. Who are we chatting with?
This is Harry.
Harry, what's going on? Daddy.
Nothing. What are you doing?
Well, I'm putting up with Daddy. Daddy, what's your question?
Who was the last Nebraska Cornhusker to win the Outland Trophy since Sue did a year ago?
I'm going to go Peter?
Christian? No. That's incorrect, but a great guess.
Wasn't Jason either.
No.
No. 888-455-ESPN. Who are we chatting with?
This is John.
John, who was the last Husker to win the Outland Trophy before Indomitian Sue?
Warren Dominican Sue. I'll Grant Wistrom.
That is incorrect.
All right. Try back. 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-3776. Who are we chatting with?
This is Maurice.
Maurice, do you know the answer? Who was the last Outland Trophy winner from Nebraska before Indomitian Sue?
Was it Trev Alberts?
No, it was not Trev Alberts. But a great guess. Call back. Thanks so much for trying.
888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. Who was the last Outland Trophy winner from Nebraska before Indomitian Sue? What's your guess?
I will guess Aaron Taylor.
You would guess correctly.
Who are we chatting with?
This is Jeff.
Jeff, hey, hang on the line, man. Aaron Taylor was at 97, right, Tony?
That is exactly right. 1997. Right.
There you go. We're starting to get down to those finalists. Of course, the ESPN College Football Awards show coming up on Thursday. Hang on the line, and Merritt will get all your information. And while he does that, we tell you that why are you waiting for your prescriptions when at USAVE Pharmacy, most prescriptions are ready in 5 minutes or less. There you go. Transfers are easy to do, and this is the best time of the year to get your prescriptions transferred to USAVE Pharmacy, where they have low, low prices and offer a wide variety of generic drugs for $10 for 100 days. Yes, you heard right. Many other generic drugs available for $10 for 100 days, where they accept all insurance plans offered in the area, conveniently located on 2nd Avenue, just south of the Dairy Queen in Kearney. It is USAVE Pharmacy, and we welcome them on board as a new sponsor here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Great to have them on board. Locally owned and operated, too, so the money stays right here in town. Get your prescription filled today.
I did send in my Heisman Trophy ballot yesterday.
Was it exciting?
I felt ill when I pushed the submit button. I could not justify not voting for Cam Newton. So I voted for Cam Newton to win the Heisman. Justin Blackmon, wide receiver, Oklahoma State, second. And then you vote for three, Kellen Moore, Boise State, third. I think Andrew Luck could have been third. It came down to those two. Ryan Mallett was also in my consideration, but it looked like maybe he was fifth in the bunch. So that was how I sent it in. Newton, Blackmon, and Moore. And those were my three Heisman. They give that out on Saturday. Nebraska, a 13-point favorite currently over Washington. Join us for our Husker Lunch tomorrow. We've got Sean Callahan at Cunningham's. We'll be talking with UNK wrestler, assistant wrestling coach Frank Cuchero, Loper Link, and a lot more. We want to thank Chris Crank, Ted Flugatis, Hastings College soccer coaches, and Matt Hoskison for joining us today.
Hey, we'll see you tomorrow, 1460, 1550.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!